I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's Monday, September 25th, and to be honest with you, this podcast wasn't even supposed to be launched until October. I mean, that was the plan. But then something pretty important began to unfold this past week, and I didn't think we could sit this one out. So we're pulling the trigger a couple of weeks early, just so we could spend a few minutes talking about the latest serious threat, very serious threat, to your healthcare. And it's called Cassidy Graham. So what is Cassidy Graham? Well, it is a bill put forth by Republican Senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy, and it is designed to fulfill the 7-year promise of repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, which most people know as Obamacare. And why is Cassidy Graham happening right now? Well, without getting too deep into the legislative maneuvers, the Republican leadership in Congress has until September 30th, that is their deadline, to be able to pass a bill like this with a simple majority vote. So things have to happen by September 30th, or the goal of repealing Obamacare becomes much more difficult to attain. And what does Cassidy Graham do? Why is that bill such a serious threat? Well, as I said, it repeals most of the Affordable Care Act, and specifically, it repeals most of the protections and mandates that are part of the act, and basically leaves everything up to each individual state to decide what they want to do. So each state can decide whether people with pre-existing conditions are going to be covered at all, or whether they might be put into a hugely expensive high-risk pool, which was the exact kind of thing that was done before the Affordable Care Act became law. And those high-risk pools, by the way, they failed over and over and over again. Cassidy Graham leaves it up to each state to decide whether there are going to be annual or lifetime caps on the amount of benefits each of us is entitled to. Which, if you're battling a chronic illness, if you are requiring long-term treatment, the idea of annual caps and lifetime caps is something you literally can't live with. What's the problem with Cassidy Graham? The problem is in the details, because there aren't any. We just don't know what each state will do. But we do know that the bill doesn't require them to do anything. We don't know how many people are going to lose their health insurance under this bill. And the reason we don't know that is because, unlike every other piece of legislation that Congress deals with, the Republican congressional leadership can't wait for the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office to audit and score this bill and tell us things like what it will cost, who will be affected, and how it's going to impact all of us. And the reason they won't be scoring the bill is because they can't get it done by the September 30th deadline. And getting the vote done by that deadline seems to be the most important thing here. But the Brookings Institute released an independent analysis last week that indicated that 21 million Americans are going to lose their health insurance over the next 10 years if Cassidy Graham becomes law. So that's something we do know. And so for some combination of all of these reasons and more reasons that we won't even get into right now, the American Medical Association has come out against this bill, as has Kaiser Permanente, as has the American Hospital Association, as has the American Heart Association, the March of Dimes, the ALS Association, the Alzheimer's Association, the American Cancer Society, the American College of Physicians, the American Diabetes Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Lung Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the Arthritis Foundation, the Autism Foundation, Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the largest insurers in the country, has come out against the bill. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, the Infectious Diseases Society of America, the National Association of Medicaid Directors, the National Institute for Reproductive Health, Planned Parenthood, the National Kidney Foundation, and the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. All of these groups have found Cassidy Graham to be bad medicine. So, in all of this doom and gloom, is there any good news? There is a bit. Last week, two Republican senators, Rand Paul and John McCain, announced that they were not going to vote in favor of the bill. And over this past weekend, Senator Susan Collins, the Republican senator from Maine, indicated that she had what she considered serious misgivings about the bill. So if Senator Collins or any other Republican senator comes out opposing the bill, then it has no chance of passing. They lose their simple majority. But just like we faced this past July in the last vote to try and repeal the Affordable Care Act, that is a huge if, and the stakes are incredibly high. So we're not out of the woods yet. And if you'd like to call your senator to express your opinion on the Cassidy Graham bill, you can call area code 202-224-3121, and then let the Senate switchboard know which senator's office you want to be connected to. But until it's pronounced dead, this bill has a chance of passing and becoming law. And even if Cassidy Graham dies, it's likely that the Republican leadership in Congress is going to try something again. And that's why I wanted to talk with someone who has served in Congress and actually worked on passing the Affordable Care Act, and then, about a year ago, was diagnosed with MS. Former Representative Donna Edwards is going to be joining us on the podcast in just a few minutes, but there are some other important things that we learned last week. So it's time for a little good news, and last week we learned that researchers may have identified biomarkers that would indicate progressive MS. Now, a biomarker or biological marker is a measurable indicator of a specific disease state or condition. In other words, the medical tests that we all take, very often, some of them are used to check for biomarkers to determine whether someone has a particular illness or how severe that illness is or how severe that illness might get in the future. We can tell all that by looking at reliable biomarkers. So researchers working together from Yale University, the Oregon Health and Science University, and the University of California identified two molecules and a gene variant that together, without getting too deep into the scientific jargon, may explain why some people develop progressive MS. And the huge benefit to patients is that a simple genetic test could be used then to identify MS patients who are at risk for developing progressive MS. And that diagnosis could be made way ahead of when these patients might ever exhibit any symptoms. So that means that a drug treatment plan can be started before a patient's MS progresses. And that proactive kind of treatment has a much better chance to slow or stop the progression of the disease. And that is amazing news. That research, by the way, was funded by the National Institutes of Health, along with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the Rocky Mountain MS Center Tissue Bank, and the Department of Veteran Affairs. Last week, the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute announced that it was awarding $14 million in grants funding three different studies that are going to take advantage of mobile technology in making MS treatment easier and hopefully more effective. So one study is being conducted by the University of Michigan, and it's going to measure the effects of two different treatments for MS-related fatigue. They're going to compare one treatment that uses the drug modafinil with another treatment that instead uses cognitive behavioral therapy delivered to your mobile phone. Another study is being conducted by my alma mater, Case Western Reserve University, and in that study, researchers are going to be comparing the benefits of fatigue management that's delivered by going to your doctor's office for an in-person visit versus staying at home and having those medical visits done by two-way video using something like Skype, with a third method of simply going online and getting instruction on fatigue management. And they'll see which one of those three methods is most effective. And finally, the third study that just got funded is being conducted by the Shepherd Center in Atlanta, and they're going to be comparing traditional MS exercise therapy that you'd get at a gym or a rehab center with getting telerehabilitation therapy. There's a word for you. Telerehabilitation therapy is therapy that you can receive, rehab therapy that you can receive while you're at home, on your personal computer, on your tablet, on your phone. The University of Southern California is currently recruiting 400 Hispanic Americans who've been diagnosed with MS in the past 2 years for a study that's going to look at the effects that genetics and culture might play in determining the severity of a patient's multiple sclerosis. Dr. Liliana Amezcua is heading up this study, and it's being funded by the National MS Society. I'm actually going to see if Dr. Amezcua can join us on the podcast in the next couple of weeks, so we'll be talking more about this study. Meanwhile, if you're a Hispanic American who's been diagnosed with MS in the past 2 years and you think you'd like to participate in the study, the person to contact is Andrea Martin at area code 323-442-6817. You can put this in the very good news category, because last week we learned that California Senate Bill 17 was passed by the California State Legislature. It is now sitting on Governor Jerry Brown's desk awaiting a signature. So what is California Senate Bill 17, and why does the MS community care? Well, the bill requires pharmaceutical companies to notify health insurance companies and government health plans like Medi-Cal, for instance, at least 60 days before a scheduled prescription drug price increase if that increase exceeds 16% over a two-year period. And it would also require the drug companies to explain the reasons behind those increases. So this is a first real step toward gaining some transparency in prescription drug price increases. And that is something that should be incredibly important to the MS community because, well, according to the National MS Society, in 2004, the average cost of MS drug therapy was $16,000 a year. And frankly, that in itself is a big number. By 2016, the cost had risen from $16,000 to $78,000 a year. And that just seems to be an unbelievable number. So much so that just a couple of months ago, Congress launched an investigation into the rising price of MS prescription drugs. So if Governor Brown signs this bill, California is going to be leading the way in demanding at least some level of accountability from pharmaceutical companies. And if you're listening to this podcast and you live in California, feel free to call Governor Brown's office at area code 916-445-2841, and let him know how important this legislation is to the MS community and to so many other Californians who rely on prescription medication. I'll keep you posted on the status of the bill and the status of that congressional investigation as well. We started the podcast today talking about the dangers that the proposed Cassidy-Graham healthcare bill represent to millions of Americans, certainly to people with MS. And in a moment, we're going to be talking with former member of Congress Donna Edwards about why she's afraid of what this bill could do. I'm speaking with former member of the House of Representatives, Donna Edwards. Donna represented Maryland's 4th Congressional District from 2008 until January of this year. And I learned about Donna's story this past July when she wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post. You might remember July as a month when the Senate's attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act, more popularly known as Obamacare, failed by a single vote. And the headline of Donna's piece in the Washington Post really caught my attention. It read, "To my colleagues in Congress, I have MS. Don't make my insurance unaffordable." Well, hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you? It's great to be with you.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And first things first, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Well, that's good news. And if I'm correct, I believe you were diagnosed with MS in 2016 while you were still serving in Congress, right?
I was. I was diagnosed June 22nd on 2016. I was still a member of Congress. I had run for the Senate and as a result was not going to be able to serve another term. And so I was serving out my term in the House of Representatives when I was diagnosed.
And while you were serving in the House, but actually several years before your MS diagnosis, you were one of the legislators who voted to pass the Affordable Care Act. You know, that was such landmark legislation. How did you feel when you cast your vote?
Oh, my gosh, I felt great. As a matter of fact, I was one of only 4 presiding officers over the debate on the Affordable Care Act because it was a real principled thing on which I ran for Congress and entered Congress and worked on. A couple of ideas that I had were actually implemented in the Affordable Care Act, and so I still have the gavel that I use to gavel in and gavel out the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, that is absolutely awesome. And you know, I guess we don't always have the opportunity to thank the people who are responsible, but let me thank you for that vote, for your efforts, and I'm glad you held on to the gavel because that's quite a historic gavel.
Well, it sure is. I mean, it may make its way into a museum one day, but right now I've got it. And, you know, the thing is, when we passed the Affordable Care Act, we knew that we were doing something special when we made sure that 130 million Americans who have some kind of pre-existing medical condition would be able to have health care without regard to their pre-existing condition. And here I find myself, having been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, knowing that I now have a very, you know, marked pre-existing condition and that people like me all across the country need to make sure that our health care is affordable. And so I'm glad that that was something that we were able to do in the Affordable Care Act, and I want to make sure that it sticks around.
And that kind of brings us up to where we're at today and lately. Tell me, what made you decide to write the piece that appeared in the Washington Post?
Well, for several weeks, I went away. I was actually on an RV road trip across the country. And while I was away, I would listen to snippets of the debate and argument about health care on Capitol Hill. And I heard some comments of some of my former colleagues who were really disparaging toward people who had pre-existing conditions. They were saying things like, well, it was their fault, or they led unhealthy lives, and so we shouldn't be, you know, making sure that we take care of these folks. And I kept hearing and hearing things like that, and it made me a little mad. And so I decided that I wanted to weigh in on this debate, and it was at a time when the debate was really raging, and there was a, you know, a very close opportunity that the Affordable Care Act would be repealed, particularly that provision dealing with pre-existing conditions, and I decided that I needed to use my voice to speak up on behalf of millions of people across the country.
Well, and thanks to your efforts and the efforts of so many MS activists and many, many others who would have been profoundly impacted by that new bill if it had passed, fortunately, we didn't have to worry about that. But now it appears that the efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act have not gone away, even though we've heard that there's a bipartisan effort underway that might actually repair and improve the Affordable Care Act, a plan to gut health care insurance of the protections and mandates that are called for under the Affordable Care Act is back yet again. And I guess the latest iteration is a new bill being sponsored by Republican Senators Lindsey Graham, Bill Cassidy, Ron Johnson, and Dean Heller. And a lot of people didn't see this bill coming, but Congress has until the end of September to try to pass that bill with a simple majority, so it's being fast-tracked, and it looks like there will be a vote scheduled. In essence, this bill provides each state with funding to establish its own insurance programs, but these programs wouldn't have the protections or any of the requirements that are found in the Affordable Care Act. We'd likely see annual and lifetime caps imposed on benefits. And when you think about the extraordinarily high cost of multiple sclerosis medication, those caps are a real threat to people with MS. And there'd be no guarantee, for instance, that people with pre-existing conditions could even get health insurance at reasonable rates under the bill. So now that the effort to repeal Obamacare is with us once again, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, thank you very much for spelling out in great detail what this Cassidy-Graham bill would do. Look, the Republicans in Congress right now are trying to move through the back door what they couldn't get through the front door during the spring. And so we're at a very dangerous moment. And the fact that these gentlemen are saying that they want to throw it into the states actually means that it puts in jeopardy some of the provisions that protect people with multiple sclerosis and other chronic conditions, because it would allow states and insurance companies basically to drop or charge at very, very high rates people who have pre-existing conditions such as multiple sclerosis. And so I am very concerned about this, not just for myself personally and that huge cost that we pay for prescription drugs, but I'm concerned for the country because we're going to go back to a time, and these gentlemen want to take us back to a time where people lose their homes and their livelihoods, their children being able to go to college because they have chronic conditions that require a lot of care and cost a lot. And I just think that that is a dangerous step backwards. And so anybody who says that this so-called repeal and repair is not gutting the Affordable Care Act is wrong. It is absolutely going to gut the Affordable Care Act, gut the mandates that protect people, and put us in jeopardy once again. Not just the 25 million or so people who don't have health insurance and who get it under the Affordable Care Act, but millions and millions more who have chronic conditions like MS and are running the risk that their entire livelihoods and their health care and their lives are going to be placed in jeopardy by this outrageous Cassidy. No, he's not stealing the bank, but the Cassidy-Graham bill.
You know, frequently people are advised to contact their congressional representatives in Washington and let them know how they feel about a particular issue. Now, as someone who has served as a congressional representative, how important is that?
Well, it's extremely important, and I will tell you, call, and call. Every single call is logged, every comment is logged, and the more calls that are made to members of Congress in their offices, in their home district offices, as well as in their congressional offices, are really important. And I would say flood the zone. You know, call the Senate. I think the number is 202-224-3121, and ask for your senator and get that call logged in. You, your neighbors, your family members, because this is too important for us to allow something like this to move forward in the dead of night and in silence and darkness without confronting it. And I'm telling you, as a former member, those phone calls work. Show up at your members' offices. If you can come to Washington or go to their home offices in your states, do that as well, because it really does make a difference.
Well, Donna Edwards, thank you not only for having the courage and wisdom to cast your vote in Congress to pass the Affordable Care Act and enable millions of families to gain access to health care that they never had before, but also for speaking up now and shining a light on how incredibly important this health care safety net is to families battling multiple sclerosis as well as so many other chronic conditions. I want to thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm John Strum. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.